Because of that petition filed by the Gaza-based Palestinian Center for Human Rights during 2018, he then received treatment from Augusta Victoria Hospital in the occupied East Al-Quds. Unfortunately, the radiotherapy he underwent in that hospital proved unsuccessful, so it was recommended that he receive further care in the occupied Palestinian territories or Jordan. Afana first went to Haifa's Rambam Hospital in 2018. He responded well to the radiotherapy offered there and then headed back to Gaza. He kept on making monthly trips to Haifa for checkups until the Zionist regime banned him from doing so in August this year. While he was banned, his condition deteriorated. He later learned that his cancer had spread. By blocking Afana from going to his August 23rd appointment, the Zionist regime inflicted enormous anxiety on him and his family. Afana feared that he would die soon, leaving his two children without a father. The radiotherapy prescribed to him at Rambam Hospital is unavailable within Gaza. As he waited for permission to travel, Afana's pain became increasingly severe. The Zionist regime's actions led to a delay of more than 3 months in his treatment. "I can't eat or sleep much," he said, speaking before his permit to travel in December was eventually granted. Receiving treatment promptly can literally mean the difference between life and death for people with cancer and other serious diseases. The Zionist regime, which has subjected Gaza to a full blockade since 2007, often blocks patients from receiving essential care for long periods. The Zionist regime only approved 31% of applications to travel from Gaza's medical patients in May this year. During that same month, the Zionist regime mounted a major attack on Gaza, which lasted 11 days, frequently targeting healthcare facilities and their environs. The rate of permit approvals remains low. According to the World Health Organization, 54% of 1,370 requests for patients to leave Gaza via Erez military checkpoint were authorized by the Zionist regime during September this year. That was one of the two lowest rates of approval since April 2019. As well as delaying patients from leaving Gaza, the Zionist regime has placed restrictions on the entry of medical equipment. Al-Mizan, a human rights group, complained in October that the Zionist regime had banned diagnostic medical devices for patients with COVID-19. Bassam Al-Hamadin, a representative of Gaza's health ministry, stated that the Zionist regime banned 8 mobile X-ray devices for a total of 10 months this year before allowing them to enter. Al-Hamadin added, "We only have 3 MRI in Gaza, and they have banned spare parts for these devices. These restrictions are all the more cruel given that they have been imposed amid a pandemic." Feda, 39, from Khan Yunis in southern Gaza, has breast cancer. She recently required an MRI scan but was unable to have one in the European Gaza Hospital, which is located near Khan Yunis. The European hospital has been the main facility in Gaza treating people with COVID-19 this year. Its equipment has been in heavy demand. After an 18-day wait, Fedah finally managed to have a scan in Gaza City's Al-Shifa Hospital during November, she said. You can't imagine how painful the wait was. Before then, she had been able to secure an appointment for an MRI scan within a few days. Fedah had previously received treatment in Al-Quds. Obtaining that treatment required her to be away from her family for a lengthy period of time between November 2020 and January this year. That lengthy absence had a marked effect on her family, especially her three-year-old son. Fedah said, "He cries whenever he sees bags for traveling. He thinks I will be away from him for another 65 days. So far, the Zionist regime has granted Fedah the permits she needs for travel, but there is no guarantee that this regime will do so if she applies for further permits," she said. "I'm scared to death about traveling again to Al-Quds. I don't want to leave my family for a long time once again."
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station. Youth Station. Youth Station.
Islamati, Allah my Lord,
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran,
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet,
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon,
praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله النور.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
You're listening to Youth Station, broadcasting from IRIB English Radio Station. With you today is Brother Habib at your service and Sayyid
Jafar. Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for coming, brother. So, of course, Sayyid, if you could please introduce yourself, where you're from.
Okay, I am originally Pakistani, but I was brought up in the US, in Houston.
So you're from Texas?
Yes.
Oh, from the southern part of the United States of America. No, we're from the sunny part of California. Anyway, brother, let's talk about this new topic, life with Meta. Now, of course, Mr. Mark
Zuckerberg.
Yeah. The guy that looks like a robot, all right, and that talks and walks like a robot. He brought up this new idea for changing Facebook, social media altogether. And mm-hmm. It brought up this new concept called Meta.
Okay.
Do you have any background about it? Because me personally, I'm kind of old. You know, look, my hair is going gray. Yes.
Again, it might be something that's just a new concept that he's brought up. Obviously, they have to bring something new to attract new customers. So I'm also fairly new to the concept of Meta.
What I've, heard about news, because old people listen to news, is that the company that was known as Facebook has changed its name into Meta. It's going to start to focus on a metaverse. a shared virtual environment. Well, everything that we have, all the information that we have, all the, I don't know, contacts, tasks, let's say, media, history, everything will be shared virtually.
Uh-huh.
Now,
well, it does make sense because Facebook did buy all the other social media platforms.
Yeah, that's kind of scary from one point of view, you know.
So why do you think it's so scary?
I don't know. I think that our information, our life, our personal statuses, everything that we have, you know, I want to keep my privacy.
That's true.
And making it, you know, to try to connect to society, making it digital, making it, you know,
like making it accessible for everyone.
It becomes accessible for everyone.
Pretty much.
Well, even though you say that, no, they have these privacy laws and all this and that. I wasn't the one that sold the information to Trump in 2016. It was them, you know. It wasn't me. You know, I was in Iran studying. So it's kind of scary, you know, because everyone has the capability and there's a possibility. There's even more than a possibility, a probability of people gaining more information about you. I don't like it for my own sake. You know, I have nothing to hide. You know, I'm just a normal guy that studies, eats, goes to visiting the shrine of Sayyidina Masuma. That's all I do, actually.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
No, I can understand that. But the way they attract people to this concept is they're trying to bring everyone under that umbrella of, you know, we're with you. There's nothing to worry about. But at the end of the day, someone's behind a computer checking everything. Everything's going to be at their fingertips now. In this age, hacking isn't, you know, it isn't a rare feat anymore. Every other person could just be sitting at their computer and hacking and getting someone else's information. You know, accessing things that shouldn't be accessed in the first place.
There are YouTube videos of how to hack.
Oh.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a short break. We will be back to continue this discussion. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome back to IRB English Radio Station. You guys are listening to Youth Station. We are talking, me and Sayyid Jaafar, we're talking about the concept of Metaverse, this new company or this new concept and idea that the owners of Facebook brought up. And pretty much, in a nutshell, what we understand of it is that it's a new evolution of social connection. It's a new vision to change the way that we connect with others, how we socialize with others, how our lifestyle is. How do you think that the new life will be like, this new digital life, this new connection? It's going to help in some way, you know, or in some matter, in some aspects, bringing humans forward, aiding development in knowledges and sciences and, I don't know. Do you think that it has this positive to it?
In my opinion, probably the reason behind creating a metaverse like this was that it was to transfer knowledge from one side of the world to the other, where it wouldn't take as much time as it would back in the day, to collect ideas from all over the world. But at the end of the day, there will be people who misuse this, will take advantage of this technology, as they did with other technologies in the past. But I'm assuming that their purpose for making something like this is to connect all these platforms together. So that suppose if someone is only part of one platform, they can connect with someone else who is part of another platform, per se. Where you don't necessarily have to have an account or a sitting in any of the other platforms to talk to one another. It's a free transfer of ideas.
I'm not only talking about the transfer of ideas. How about like travel, how we travel? Like, you know, how the thing that happened to us today, you know, mm-hmm. going inside the studio and you know what happened. I don't want to talk about the radio on the radio. Anyway, just, you know, speaking, you know, like, for example, you're in the airport, right? This metaverse, do you think that this meta idea or concept can help us, for example, the way that we have our passports, our documents, you know, these informations, these, you know, what I like to call the vital paperwork that every human mm-hmm. being must have nowadays.
I feel like as it being a vital part of someone's being itself, right? A passport, a birth certificate, a marriage form, right? Anything on this basis should just be personally with that person, right? It shouldn't be out there in the world for everyone to use, right?
One may claim that it is already out there. You know, it's in the systems of the government. It's in the systems of, you know, the country that you live in.
That's true, but I'm saying in a sense where when we thought, okay, look, the government has it, then that means only the government has access to it, right? Not everyone. But realize if this is put into something called the metaverse and everyone has access to it, that means the guy sitting next to you probably already has all your information, right? There's no security in the world then.
All right. So I think the main thing that we agreed upon, one of the biggest issues that people might have with this meta universe or this the meta idea, is the security aspect and our privacy. Do we really need social media altogether? That's the final step. Like, do we really? First of all, let's ask this question: do we really need this upgrade of social media?
No, I don't think there is a need for an upgrade. I feel like social media is already doing the job that it was made to do for, right? You're expressing your ideas, your thoughts, say it be in a video or with pictures or just text, right? And you're just putting your ideas in a sense a bubble for other people to view and give their opinion on.
Well, one may claim that there are so many bots, especially if you're a sports fan. And I'm saying this because I know it's not going to get uncensored because no one understands except for sports fans. When you open the sport fans, there are so many bots. Anyway, if you understood it, that means you're a sports fan. If you didn't understand it, it means you don't support sports anyway. And you don't look at comments. Anyway, bots are so much.
Yeah.
Fake accounts are so much. Well, scammers and hackers are taking advantage of this kind of social media. Why don't we say that this meta is kind of it's this upgrade into metaverse helps us, you know, fix this problem?
Honestly, the reason they add in these bots and fake accounts is to encourage traffic within a certain app. So who's saying they won't put it in this as well? Just to really start Meta up, right? Get it accustomed with everyone. They have to have some traffic going through it. And to cause that traffic, they have in fake accounts and bots and other factors pushing the idea and making it a common feel for everyone else. And then when it starts running on its own, they might pull them back, might not. Again, we don't know.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Now, I remember in 2011, if I'm not wrong, I was the first person in Qom to download Instagram. Uh-huh. Yeah, I still remember the old Instagram.
Oh.
Yeah, the old Instagram.
Monumental stage.
Yeah, and I remember that if you got one like, it was something very big. If you had 12 followers or 15 followers, it's something huge at the time, especially living in Iran. And I remember that I was so intrigued into it. At the same time, I saw that, what is the purpose of it at the time? I didn't understand what was the purpose of it until recently, where I started seeing the money that some people make, the influencers, how they make their money off of, you know, for example, Instagram. Now, how do you think that this development, how do they view it? Is there a harm to their business, or isn't it a harm to their business? Because, you know, the money aspect of everything is very intriguing.
That's true. I feel like most people who got into social media back in the day when it first started didn't really think about it as a business point of view. They really just thought about it of just, you know, just
sharing your food.
Sharing information.
Food. Instagram was for your food. Facebook was your status. And WhatsApp was to message with people.
That's true.
Yeah. It was like that. Now, no.
Now it's a business now, right? Yeah. You go and you promote a product. You promote what you said, food, right? You promote a restaurant. You promote other people's businesses. You collaborate with other
cologne, perfumes.
Anything. Lipstick. Honestly, anything. You could come up and make a new product that no one knows about and just put it on one of these social media platforms and it'll boom on one of those, right? Most people are making their livelihood off of this. But originally, I don't think anyone had thought of making a business off of social media, right? Where, oh yeah, I get my yearly, you know, payment through social media, through posting videos and posting like different information on there. But now, maybe with the concept of a meta, they make it more common where you don't have the typical, you know, you go to work 9 to 5 and you come back and you get a paycheck at the end of the year or maybe after every 6 months, something like that. More of it as people are just all on one platform doing the same thing. In a sense, it will make it easier for people who don't have work, but then for others, they might just only know how to do that.
Thank you very much, Said. I really want to thank the dear brothers and sisters who joined us. You guys were listening to Youth Station broadcasting from IRB English Radio Station. We were talking about life with Meta. But at the end of the day, we fear for our privacy, our security. We talked about that. And there might be a chance to make moolah out of it. Anyway, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you, dear brothers and sisters, safe out there. Join us again on another show. From now until then, we keep you in your prayers. Keep us in your prayers. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because of you. In weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, I will when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Since people in the West are enjoying Christmas holidays, we join them in their hour of joy by reflecting upon a wise saying of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, with reference to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. God the Blessed, the Exalted says, my faithful servants become sad when I take the worldly pleasures away from them, while this is the most lovable and the most favorable thing for me. They feel happy when I bestow upon them many worldly pleasures, while this is the most detestable and the remotest thing from me. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. All peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and his family.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg, an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together and a fair in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different in the fair as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa, and not the traditional three wise men, give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most, but a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and a second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they didn't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn, they were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra da Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. Looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiters is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Orsay is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arce's butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of feeding the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up the Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's while the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty, dear friends, salam. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. Today's a special, and we want to speak about Islam and Prophet Jesus. Today, Sunday, is the 21st of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment and listen to Chapter Maryam, verses 18 to 20.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا.
She said, "Indeed, I seek refuge in the Most Merciful from you. So leave me, if you should be fearing of Allah."
قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا.
He said, "I am only the messenger of your Lord to give you news of a pure boy."
قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا.
She said, "How can I have a boy while no man has touched me and I have not been unchaste?"
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the recommendations of Allah to His messengers is that they should take refuge in Allah. Therefore, this state has been the moral life of the prophets and the saints of Allah. And that is why when the pious persons feel the probability of committing sin, they tremble in fear and take refuge in Allah, the Beneficent. In this surah, chapter Al-Maryam, the subject of being granted a child from Allah has been mentioned several times. Having a child is something of great value, but greater than this is the purity of the child.
Prophets all came to show people the way, to bring peace everywhere, to take evil away. Prophets all came. Prophets all came.
I invite you to listen to the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. What is the status of Jesus in Islam? Christmas, as everyone knows, commemorates the birth of Jesus, peace be upon him, and is a major religious celebration for Christians around the world. But what many people don't know is that Jesus is an important figure in Islam too. Even most Muslims don't celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday, but some, especially some American Muslims, do celebrate it for cultural reasons. Muslims believe that Jesus, called Isa in Arabic, was a prophet of Allah and was born to a Virgin Mary. They also believe he will return to earth before the day of judgment to restore justice. All of this may sound pretty familiar to many Christians. So although Muslims do not believe that Jesus is the son of Allah, a critically important distinction between Muslim and Christian views of him, Muslims do revere Jesus as an important prophet. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Prophet Jesus Christ. According to Islamic teachings, Jesus Christ is still alive. And in this regard, it's indicated that when the 12th infallible Imam, Al-Mahdi salamullah alayhi, when he comes back among people, because he has long been in a state of his major occultation, when the 12th infallible Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam comes back among people, it's indicated that Jesus Christ will be the second person who would come and who would join him and who would perform salat just behind Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Here it must be indicated that we hope to be felicitous enough to witness, to view, and to experience the sweet days of the presence of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam among us as the ruling Imam, the ruling infallible Imam, together with the Prophet Jesus Christ. The mother of Jesus Christ was Mary. She was certainly a chaste lady, and her chastity, her greatness, and her station before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was simply very iconic and symbolic. In the Holy Quran, it's indicated in Allah astafaki wa taharik wa astafaki ala nisa'i al-alamin. Certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially selected you, purified you, and especially selected you over all ladies in the world.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
The Gospel of the Shia of Ali. Both Prophet Jesus and Imam Ali enjoin the proper observance of religious law while they reject empty literalism and the immorality it fosters. The condemnation of misuse of religious knowledge for worldly gain is condemned by Imam Ali when he mentions how it was condemned by Jesus. It is reported that the commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Jesus, the son of Mary, said, 'The money is the illness of religion, and the scholar or al-alim is the physician of religion.' So if you see that the physician brings illness upon himself, distrust him and know that he is not advise others."
on the commemoration of birthday anniversary of Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, we look at his words, the world and the hereafter. Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, said, O assembly of disciples, I have thrown the world prostrate before you. So do not lift it up after me, for one of the evils of this world is that Allah was disobeyed in it, and one of the evils of this world is that the next world is not attained except by abandoning this one. So pass through this world without making it your home, and know that the root of all wrong is the love of this world. Many a vain desire leaves a legacy of lasting sorrow. Jesus, peace be upon him, said, Blessed is he who abandons the present desire for the absent promise.
When you examine the life of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, we see that one of the greatest historical misconceptions is the divinity of Jesus. You know, many people think that he claimed to be God. He instructed people to worship him. If you ask an average Christian, you know, why do you worship Jesus? He'll tell you, well, Jesus teaches me that. I'm following his path. He brought this religion which teaches me that he is divine and that I worship him and that he is the Lord. This is one of the biggest misconceptions in history. Let's examine the life of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Did he really claim, even according to the current Bible that we have, did he really claim in any way that he's God? Did he ask anyone to worship him? Our question that we pose to the Christians is that on what basis do you worship Jesus? Do you consider him divine? Did he ever say to worship him? Did he ever claim to be God, to be the Lord? Or no? What does the Bible say? Now, interestingly, you will find that the authors of the Bible, those who wrote the Bible, right? None of them really claim that he is God. There is no clear passage in the Bible today that Jesus said he was God. In fact, we find verses in the Bible that hint that he was not God. Let me share with you a few verses. So we have in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 18. Mark 10, 18. There's a verse that says there was a conversation when a man came to Jesus alayhi salam and he told him, you're good. What did he say? How did he respond? He told him, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Yes, let's hear from you. That's fine. What do you understand from this verse? He's caring, right? Definitely he was a caring prophet. But from this verse, we are told that there's a distinction between him and God. He's not God. The only good, full, absolute goodness, the source of goodness, is God, the Creator. So he's not God. We see that in Matthew 19:17, chapter 19, verse 17. We see that it says, and he said unto him, he replied to that man, why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. So we see that Jesus clearly says in the Bible that only God is absolute goodness.
Dear brothers and sisters, that's all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic. So, till another episode, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah, and have a nice time.
من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio.